Hello and good afternoon. I think I've had the opportunity to meet most of you here, but for those of you I haven't met yet, my name once again is John Devine. I'm an economist with Cotton Incorporated. If you look at your programs and you look on at the screen, you might see some slight differences, but the subject material is basically the same. Just decided to focus in a little bit more on the data that we're looking at, the lifestyle monitor data that we produce at Cotton Incorporated. So why U.S. apparel demand? The reason why U.S. apparel demand is important is that U.S. is the world's largest consumer of textiles in the world. Based on some of the estimates that Leslie just finished talking about, U.S. imports about 20 million bales of cotton fiber every year. U.S. apparel imports make up the majority of our textile imports, and U.S. apparel imports alone in terms of the fiber content represent about 13% of world cotton consumption in 2008-2009. So the motivation for this research is with apparel demand in the U.S. representing such a large component of world cotton fiber demand, it's important to understand U.S. apparel demand because of its effect on not only cotton demand but also cotton prices. So given the importance of U.S. apparel demand, we want to take a look at some of the data sources that are currently available. One of those is consumer spending data. Consumer spending data come out each month with revisions to GDP figures, and they are represented in terms of dollars spent on clothing. Consumer spending data is actually derived from retail sales data. Retail sales data come from the Department of Commerce. Each month, they send out surveys to retailers across the United States, and these results are published in retail sales figures. One limitation of retail sales data is that they're published by channel. Examples of retail channels would be clothing store, also department store, also mass merchants such as Walmart. And the problem is that some of these stores sell a lot of other goods besides apparel. So when we look at the dollar volumes coming from retail sales data, we're limited in terms of what we can describe. And a limitation of both consumer spending and retail sales data is that they're expressed in terms of dollar values. When we're looking at U.S. apparel demand as it relates to world cotton consumption, we might be more interested in the actual unit volumes. So as a result, when we're looking at things in dollar values and we have changes in prices, the relationship between the dollar values described in these data sources and the underlying amount of actual apparel units that are being purchased in the U.S. may not be consistent. Another source of data that does provide some information on units are imports. However, import data may be more representative of retailer demand than consumer demand. Import data is recorded when that data arrives at ports in the U.S., and there is a time lag in the time period between not only retail orders are initially placed, but the time they arrive in the U.S., the time they're placed on retail stores, and ultimately the time that they're purchased by consumers. So as a result, we may look at a different data source. A third limitation of all these types of data is that they're macroeconomic in nature. As a result, they're very aggregated. They're national. And we can't really describe any behavior at the consumer level from these national statistics. So as a result, we might look at other data sources that could complement some of these existing data. One of those could be Lifestyle Monitor. The Lifestyle Monitor is a monthly survey conducted by Cotton Incorporated. It was started in 1994 and originated as a telephone survey. Starting in 2008, it was conducted completely online. Each month, roughly 500 surveys are distributed according to Census Bureau demographics. Questions that are contained in the survey are both what we call special and core questions. Special questions are those that address specific research needs for Cotton Incorporated, and these are often published in Supply Chain Insights, just to put in a shameless plug for some of Cotton Incorporated's publications. But if you're interested in checking these out, these are freely available on our website. But what we're looking at in this research is core questions. These core questions are repeated over time. We have a time series of data, and we think that this can be used to help analyze U.S. apparel demand. And that brings us into our research objective. Look at Lifestyle Monitor for looking at U.S. apparel demand. Specifically, the goals we want to do in this paper are to compare lifestyle measures of U.S. demand against those that are governmental and that I outlined previously in this presentation. Second objective is to take advantage of the microeconomic nature of the lifestyle monitor data and to look at certain factors that may influence U.S. apparel demand. For this research, looking at two questions primarily. The two questions that we're looking at are available from July 2008 through September 2009. So these are relatively new addition to the lifestyle monitor. So we only have about 15 months of data in our time series, but we do have about 7,500 individual surveys. The first question that we're looking at in this research is the actual apparel decision, the purchase of apparel. You can see from our results that the vast majority of respondents do make apparel purchases each month. On average, about 3/4 of respondents had made an apparel purchase in the previous month. The second question we're looking at relates to the quantity of apparel purchased. In the Retail Monitor survey, we ask whether you made purchase of a whole range of different apparel categories. What we did was sum those up to get an idea about apparel purchase volumes. Here we can take a look at some of the descriptive statistics for this question over time. The mean average purchases per respondent was about 6.5, which implies about 80 apparel purchases per respondent over a year. That sounds like a lot, but if you take a look at it in terms of some of the individual apparel items, certainly passes what I would think would be reasonable. Number of shirts was the most popular item purchased. This includes t-shirts, knit shirts, woven shirts, so it's a relatively broad category. On average, respondents indicating they purchase about 18 of those a year. Other popular categories were underwear and socks. Given that these product items can wear out, you'd expect people to buy those, and it probably is reasonable that people purchase about a dozen of these items each year. Here you can take a look at the distribution of responses to these questions over time, starting once again in July of 2008. So we do have some data prior to the most severe months of the recession. And you can see that after the credit crisis, that response frequency started to diminish a little bit, with respondents becoming less likely to indicate they made apparel purchases in the previous month. Here we can take a look at the quantities purchased. See the same general pattern. Once again, the credit crisis having an impact on apparel purchasing behavior, although we have seen some stabilization since then and perhaps even some slight recovery in the most recent months. Once again, one of the objectives of this research was to compare lifestyle monitor data with some of the existing data sources. Given that we only have 15 months of lifestyle monitor data, we can't do some of the year-over-year testing that would take into account some seasonal factors that we'd like to address. Instead, we're limited to month-to-month comparisons, which can be a little bit more volatile. So what you have here is month-to-month change in clothing store retail sales and month-to-month changes in consumer spending on clothing. And we can compare that with the results from our lifestyle monitor data. So what we have here on the slide, this black line, is the monthly change in the number of respondents indicating that made apparel purchases in the previous month. And we can see that the correlation between these responses and the macroeconomic statistics is relatively good for our first several months of data. However, as we got into the end of the holiday sales period last year and into 2009, we see that correlation faded away. This could be expected for some of the differences in the data I talked about in the beginning of the presentation, where that our macroeconomic data being quoted in prices, when we try to compare those to underlying units, there may be some sort of discontinuity going on, inconsistency. We look at the same pattern taking place in terms when we look at our quantities. Once again, seeing some correlations in the first few months of data, and we see that correlation trail off given some of the price changes that we saw at the end of the holiday sales period last year and that have continued throughout 2009. So a little bit more formal treatment of the correlations between these two data sources. Here we just have a correlation matrix comparing our two macroeconomic measures and our two measures from the lifestyle monitor. And we see we have a significant relationship between our macroeconomic data, but that's to be expected because consumer spending is derived from retail sales. And we also see that our lifestyle monitor data is significantly correlated with itself, as we would expect as well. But concluding this goal, this research objective, we find that the relationship between dollar and unit volume is inconsistent when prices change. This, we think, is explaining some of the fact that the lifestyle monitor data do not correlate more closely with the macroeconomic data. But we do think that lifestyle monitor data is something that is important to follow, and something that we're going to continue to track in the future, especially when we have some less volatile periods in the economy, to get a better idea about how U.S. apparel demand may relate to world cotton demand. So moving on to the second objective of this research, we also wanted to take advantage of the microeconomic nature of the lifestyle monitor data to take a look at what factors might influence consumers' decisions to purchase apparel and what factors might influence consumers to make more purchases of apparel. We included several economic factors as well as a handful of demographic factors. The first several economic factors are also derived from the lifestyle monitor. We asked respondents what they thought about the national economy. We also asked them what they thought about their own personal financial outlook. And personal financial outlook actually traces very closely with the index of consumer confidence. So while we didn't have some of that outside validity with our macroeconomic data for apparel demand, we do have it with some other measures. We also included a variable to see if the respondent was employed or not. We included a time variable for the credit crisis, seeing if the credit crisis had an impact beyond a personal financial situation. We expect it had a negative influence. And then we included a range of demographic variables, education serving as a proxy for income. Gender has been shown in some of the apparel marketing literature to have a positive impact on likelihood to purchase apparel. We also looked at age. Age has been shown to have a negative relationship. And then we also put in some cultural variables due to the fact that some apparel marketing literature has also found that these play a role in apparel demand. So here are our model results. We ran a binary logit model for our decision to purchase or not, and we ran a count model for our quantity purchase items. And basically, you'll see that all of the variables that we ran that were significant agreed with expectations, although we did have some variables that were insignificant, notably education, which was our proxy for income. But we're thinking that could have been crowded out by the fact that we included a variable for a personal financial outlook. So what's the purpose of running this microeconomic analysis, how we can make this work for us? Well, at Cotton Incorporated, we're in the business of cotton promotion and cotton and promoting cotton demand. With these results, we can get ideas about how we might be able to better promote apparel demand, particularly cotton demand, by taking a look at the probability of certain consumers, certain demographics for making apparel purchases. For example, in this result, we found most significant variables, most significant influences on consumer decisions to make apparel purchases were gender, age, personal financial outlook, employment, and cultural factors, particularly if a respondent happened to be Hispanic. Using these results, we could find that the consumer that was most likely to make apparel purchases would be a young Hispanic woman who's employed and feels good about their financial situation. So this woman in the picture who's loaded down with apparel shopping bags, it's a representation of a good American consumer of apparel. So conclusions and future work. Once again, the reason why we conducted this research was because U.S. apparel demand represents such a large proportion of world cotton demand and therefore plays an impact on cotton prices. We can conclude the lifestyle monitor can be used to analyze apparel demand. We certainly would like to have a longer time series, not something that we will have in the future. But we're very happy with lifestyle monitor and the fact that it addresses units where some of our existing measures for U.S. apparel demand are only in terms of dollars. Once again, that can be an issue because of inconsistency when prices change. In addition, given the fact that Lifestyle Monitor produces microeconomic data, something that we can use at Cotton Incorporated, perhaps to better guide our advertising efforts towards those demographics that may produce the best results. That's it. Thank you for your attention. I appreciate any questions.